Srimad Bhagavad Gita, chapter 13, nature, the enjoyer and consciousness, text 24. Yevam veti purusham prakritim chaganai saha sarvata vartmananopi nasabuyo bijayate. Ya, anyone who, evam, thus, veti, understands, purusham, the living entity, prakritim, material nature, cha, and gunai, the modes of material nature, saha, with, sarvata, and always, vartmana, vartamana, being situated, api, in spite of, na, never, saha, he, bhuya, again, abhijayate, takes his birth. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. When one understands this philosophy concerning material nature, the living entity, and the interaction of the modes of nature, is sure to attain liberation. He will not take birth here again, regardless of his present position. Purport. Clear understanding of material nature, the super soul, the individual soul, and their interrelation makes one eligible to become liberated and turn to the spiritual atmosphere without being forced to return to this material nature. This is the result of knowledge. The purpose of knowledge is to understand distinctly that the living entity has by chance fallen into this material existence. By his personal endeavor and association with authorities, saintly persons, and a spiritual master, he has to understand his position and then revert to spiritual consciousness or Krishna consciousness by understanding Bhagavad Gita as it explained by the personality of Godhead. Then it's certainly that he will never come back again to this material existence. He will be transferred into the spiritual world for an eternal blissful life of knowledge. Evam veti purusham prakritim jaganai saha sarvata vatmananopi nasabhuya bhujayate. One who understands this philosophy concerning material nature, the living entity, and the interaction of the modes of nature, sure to attain liberation. He will not take birth here again, regardless of his present position. There's a world called Vaikuntha, where there is no worries. And then there's a world called Kunta, which is full of worries. And guess which world we're in? And what are we worried about? Our main worry, according to the Srimad Bhagavatam, is that we're going to have to leave this body, and we don't know where we're going. Now, it doesn't matter how much we worry about it, we still have to leave it anyhow. Worrying about it doesn't keep us any longer in the body than if we didn't worry about it. On the other hand, we're all eternal. So, and according to what we read in this chapter, anadivam negunadvat paramatmayam avyam shrira stopikuntiya nakaroti nanalibhyate. Those who could actually see reality with the eyes of knowledge, rather than the eyes we're looking through now, can see that the soul is transcendental, eternal, and beyond the modes of material nature. Despite contact with the material body, or Arjuna, the soul is neither doing anything, nor is he entangled. So each one of us, we're just observing. Of course, when Krishna creates illusion, he creates a very good illusion. As nowadays they want to create this virtual reality where you have to put on these glasses and you're imagining you're in some other place. Well, Krishna has has created the perfect three-dimensional illusion called the material world, where we're actually looking out through these eyes and we're imagining what's going on. That we're taking place in some kind of drama. But the fact is, we're aloof from the whole thing. We're just identifying ourselves with it, just like one identifies oneself in a dream with the life in the dream. But actually, when we wake up, we realize it wasn't real. It was only temporary. I wasn't really in that dreamland. Now, the only way of waking up, Krishna will explain in the next couple of verses, if we want to wake up, if we like our dream, or we think, well, some people even like horror movies. They pay money to go to a horror movie. So if we really enjoy this horror movie that we're in, we think, well, I got so many plans. I'm so young and I got so many plans. None of them work. But anyhow, I got a lot of them anyhow. I'm going to really try hard. Maybe I'll get lucky. One of them will work out. The way I'm dreaming, it's going to work out. But the fact is that the only way anything's going to work out, for the positive, Krishna will explain in the next couple of verses, that some people, they realize the self through knowledge. I think Krishna will. Is that it? Yeah, actually the first one is Dayatmani Pashanti. Dayatmani Pashanti Kechidatmanam Atmana. Anya Sankena Yogena Karma Yogena Chapare. Some people realize the self by dhyana, by meditation. Some of them realize it by study. Some of them realize it by cultivation of knowledge. Some of them by working without fruit of results. Now, we can hardly concentrate on class for 20 minutes. We sit down and chant. Our minds are everywhere except in the temple. We're in the past. We're in the future. We're looking around and saying, what's going on here? Where am I? How did I ever get here? Maybe I should go back to sleep. So, as far as meditation, even if we can think about Krishna for a moment or for 10 seconds, then we think we're a pure devotee and we get puffed up. We start imagining that everyone should bow down at my lotus feet and kiss them. So meditation is possible, and actually in this age is doable, but not directly. We're not in Satya Yuga, if you haven't noticed. Dhyanat nini pashan kechid atmanam atmana. So they realize the self by meditation. Anyei sankhyena yogena. Some of them realize it by sankhya yoga. That is, by analyzing the difference between matter and spirit. In order to do that, practically you have to starve yourself to death. Because it's not just reading a book, you realize that I'm a soul. You actually have to realize it through an analytical process. And if you're not your body, then you can't eat very much. Because why should I waste my time feeding my body? I might as well just spend it in trying to analyze who I actually am. Karma yogena chapare. Or by working without fruit of desire. Now they're not all on the same level. Karma leads to gyan, which leads to dhyana, meditation. Without going through the process of karma yoga, selfless service, so we're free from anxiety over this body and things in relation to the body, because we just do our duty. In the winter, then we bathe in the cold water. And in the summer, we put fires all around ourselves in the hot sun, and we chant our japa. That's karma yoga. do our, of course that's duties for a certain, or we work in our job, Prabhupada says that during the summer when it's very hot in India, then you cook in the kitchen. The women cook in the kitchen anyhow. That's their duty. They don't think it's too hot. There's no air conditioning. You know, maybe we'll eat some crackers today. No, they cook in the kitchen. Isn't that right? And in the freezing cold, those who are doing karma yoga, they take a shower, a cold bath anyhow. Not that it's too cold, I'll wait till the summer and I'll take a shower. That's what they used to do in Europe. When the winter was coming, they used to sew their clothes on. And then, isn't that right? Did you know about that? That was more sophisticated people. But generally, sometimes when it got in the cold winter, they'd sew their clothes on and keep them on for the whole of winter. And if things got too out of hand, they just put on more pure perfume. Because they didn't want to take, they didn't want to go through the austerity of bathing in cold water. But that's tapasya, doing the duty. And then tapasya, doing one's duty, in spite of all the inconveniences, lead one to understand that I'm not this body, which is knowledge. All this other knowledge, technological knowledge, all this other things is maybe useful in modern society if you want to get a job so you can get something to eat so you can keep your body alive. Otherwise, it's useless. Better to go plant a little garden and grow a few tomatoes and keep your body alive. Of course, I don't recommend tomatoes. Maybe some cauliflower. Cauliflower and broccoli and squash. Any case, we're in a society, so somewhere or another we're trying to get something to eat, basically speaking, something to cover our bodies with and some shelter when it gets too cold. But ultimately, knowledge means that I'm not this body and that there's no need to worry about, not that we neglect the body, just like we may not be the car, although, as I said, often we think we are the car. That's called a hum car. I am the car. So we may think we're the car, a hum car. But we take care of the, you know, therefore, although we may know we're not the car, still we take care of the car anyhow. So we may know that we're not this body, still we have to take care of it, because the body is a good instrument for you, the human form of life especially, is a good instrument for making progress in devotional service. If we didn't have a body, we couldn't come to the program. We could come to the program, but couldn't ask very many questions in the subtle body. Therefore, there's an advantage, and nor could we take any prasadam if we didn't have this body. And it'd be very hard to turn the pages if you, in the book you're trying to read, if you didn't have a body. So having a body has its advantages for performing pure devotional service. And therefore we can gain knowledge by the pure devotional service. By doing our duty, we come to the platform of knowledge. When we realize we're not this body, then we can actually think about Krishna without anxiety. Then our minds don't get distracted. Because all we do is have to look. Everything we look at reminds us of something. And as soon as we're not, unless we're dutiful, we learn the process of being dutiful, we do what we're supposed to do, then it's impossible to actually hear properly to realize that we're not this body, that we're not this mind, and that all living entities are the same as we are, that there's no one to be envious of, that ultimately everyone has an eternal loving relation with Krishna, and therefore everyone has the highest good ultimately when they have that relation with Krishna. Everyone has an absolute perfect life. There's nothing to be envious of anyone. No one is better, no one is worse. But everyone should try to develop their relationship with Krishna to take the max, to get the maximum benefit from their existence. So that's called knowledge. And when one has that knowledge, then he can start thinking about Krishna with a peaceful mind. That there's no one to compete with, there's nothing to lament about, there's nothing to hanker for, except for Krishna consciousness. We should hanker to become Krishna conscious, and we should lament the fact that we're not. And all these other things, well, they may be good, they may be necessary, they may not be necessary, but if we simply try to become Krishna conscious, then Krishna will provide us what we really need, and he'll preserve what we actually, or he'll carry what we lack and preserve what we have, what we really need. So that much faith that we're not this body, there is Krishna, he exists. He's not just a fairy tale character in the Krishna book. He's actually a living person who's moving the sun and the moon, who's in my heart, directing my wanderings in this universe. And if I turn towards him, then I can do bhakti, devotion. I can do something with his body, something with my mind, something with my words to try to please him, and therefore make some progress in my relationship with him. Except for our relationship with Krishna, and through Krishna we have a relationship with everyone else. If we have a relationship with the father and the family, then naturally if we have brothers and sisters, we have a relationship with them also. But we don't know who our brothers and sisters are unless we know who the father is. And the father tells us how to relate to the brothers and sisters properly. And the father is pleased when we serve him nicely, and he's pleased when we serve our brothers and sisters nicely too, on behalf of him, as a service to him. Therefore, Krishna will say, Anye sank, anye tvevana janata, shrutyan vyevya kupasate, te pitra tijrantyeva, mrityum shruti purana. There are others who are not conversant with spiritual knowledge, they also take to devotional service, because of their tendency to hear from authorities. And because of their tendency to hear from authorities, they also transcend the path of birth and death. So the other path available to us, rather than karma yoga or jnana yoga or dhyana yoga, meditation, is to hear. But hearing is not sufficient. We have to accept by doing something according to what we heard. And at the same time, Krishna says, ma suchaha, don't worry. Worrying is just because we don't believe in what Krishna says. We don't believe that I'm eternal. I don't believe that Krishna will help me. Because I don't believe all these things, therefore I'm worried all the time. And we take pleasure sometimes in worrying. How nicely I'm worrying today. How my worrying, I don't know what we're doing. Anyhow, we think, well, I can't do anything else but worry because I don't want to do anything else. Worrying is so easy. Now Krishna says, ma suchaha, that we shouldn't worry, we should actually do something for Krishna. Something for Krishna. And then Krishna will help us. Of course, we should do something authorized by Guru, Sadhana, and Shastra, and then Krishna will help us. He'll help us get free from our hankering and lamentation, which is our real problem. Generally speaking, we never heard of any devotee who ever died from hunger. We hear about devotees dying from eating too much, but never from hunger. Devotees generally don't freeze to death. They usually die of anxiety. That's the main thing. And anxiety means we just don't believe in Krishna, that he's going to help us. We have to be in anxiety, or my anxiety will protect me. My fears will protect me. That's what Maya says. Don't rely on Krishna. Don't waste your time thinking about Krishna. Don't waste your time reading Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam. Don't waste your time coming to the program. Don't waste your time doing devotional service. Just worry. Worry yourself to death, and you're a good person. You're a good, normal person in this world. No, one should become disturbed the fact that I'm a victim of my mind. rather than trying to actually do something. So I can actually meet the Supreme Personality of Godhead and solve all my problems forever. And solving all these insignificant problems, which I can't even do anyhow. And even when one becomes a multi-billionaire in this world by his activities, then he has more to worry about. Even if you get everything you want, then there's more to worry about. Where are you going to put it? If you have one car, then you have to worry about how am I going to protect it? Just like imagine if you're living in this wonderful world called America. I heard today that in America, and just since the beginning of the year in Chicago, there were 1,000 carjackings. You know what that is? Carjacking. You know what a carjacking is? Yeah, they take a gun, hold it to your head, and say, give me your car. Most people give them a car. But sometimes they actually kill the people. Just that, because nowadays, demoniac people, they think it's fun to kill people. And there's no, in America, it's usually people below the age of 18 who do most of the carjackings. So that way they get arrested, and in these states like Illinois, if someone is below the age of 18, they don't even put them in jail. You can even steal a number of people's cars at gunpoint, and they'll just give you probation. They said in Chicago they have a program. If you steal someone's car and you get caught and you're below 18, they send you for violin lessons. Hopefully that. They become so mad, crazy, to correct you. I won't kill anyone more. And they're surprised. They know it's not going to work. The people go for violin lessons. They go out and steal more cars because there's no reason why not to. They don't get any, you know, there's no reaction for stealing for someone's car. Even sometimes for killing people. They'll just send you for more lessons. Crazy world. But even we get everything we want, we get so many cars, then we have to worry about. Someone's not going to steal my car, someone's not going to dent my car, I have to pay for the gasoline, I have to pay for the insurance, I have to clean the car. We have one car, it's bad enough. If you get two cars, you have twice as much problems. And even if you're a billionaire, you got to worry about protecting all your money in the bank. Who's going to steal it, what the price of gold is, what the price of the stocks are. All you're doing is worrying it. You only get two chapatis a day to eat. You're spending the rest of the way worrying about your money. So karma doesn't work. Jnana, to know that we're not this body, then we think, well, I know I'm not this body, but so what? I'm in this world. And all I have to look forward to is merging in Brahman. What fun. Could you imagine merging into a light and you're just part of one of the lights forever? You're just shining. You don't do anything. There's nothing to look at. There's nothing to taste or smell. You just shine on with everyone else. And no one's impressed by you. Even you're quite bright. Everyone else is just as bright as you are. Therefore, the only real sane thing is to become Krishna conscious. Everything else is just a waste of time. And if Maya tells us to waste our time, then we should just, if we want to get angry at Maya. Take shelter of Krishna. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? Yes.
In the beginning you said that we are living in virtual reality.
Yeah.
We imagine everything. Does it mean that
Yeah, of course it's false, it's temporary. We're not creating the imagination. Just like you put on a pair of gargles and you imagine you're surfing in Hawaii. But you're not surfing in Hawaii. But the gargles are giving you the impression that you are. Now the gargles are real. The image that they're projecting onto you is real. It's not that it's false. But what you think is going on is not real. The same way if you walk into a dark room and you see a rope and you think it's a snake, it's not a snake, it's a rope. Your perception is wrong. So the perception is false. So we're looking at this world and we're seeing it through our the modes of material nature. So the world is real, but our perception of it is false, is imagination. And that's why that's the only difficulty we have. As Prahlad Maharaj said, there's no enemy in this world except for the uncontrolled mind. It's because our minds are uncontrolled, we have that's where all the difficulty comes from. We don't see things properly. Otherwise, Vishvam Purna Sujayate, Sukhayate. For a self-realized person, the whole world is just full of happiness. Everyone is going, Krishna has an arrangement to inspire everyone to go back to the spiritual world. Either by directly engaging in devotional service, or being chastised by Maya for not doing it. Yes.
So we are understanding devotional service through the scriptures like Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita. But then it happened that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came and appeared here. Doesn't this change a little bit the equation how to understand devotional service?
Well, unless you read Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, you'll never know how to perform devotional service. Chanting Hare Krishna has to be done with devotion. So unless we learn how to do it with devotion, we'll never be able to do it with devotion. Even a parrot can go, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. But it's not very devotional. So we have to learn the science of how to chant offenselessly. Anything else? Yes. Yes.
But it does not talk in this part of the Gita. It does not talk about bhakti, about love for Krishna as a means to get out of this world.
No, that's the verse. It's two verses. Anye Sankhe.
Yeah, but here in this verse it says that if you understand this philosophy, you will not take birth again. Does this mean that even this is enough not to take birth again?
No, that's not what it says. Yeah. No, but it's implied. You just read the previous verses. Upadreshtina bhanta cha bharta bhokta maheshvara paramatmaiti chapyuto dehesmin purushapara. Yet there's another, a transcendental enjoyer, who is the supreme, who is the overseer and permitter, and is known as the super soul. So part of the equation is to know Krishna. No, that's not possible. Krishna is to act. If we know Krishna as he really is, he's lovable. Just like we love ourselves, right?
Some people hate themselves.
No, they don't. Everyone loves themselves. They may hate their material circumstances and in their material body because they get angry at those things because they love themselves. They think it's unfair. But everyone loves themselves because we're a little bit of Krishna. But Krishna is all lovable. He's all kind, he's all beautiful, he's everything. So anyone who becomes aware of Krishna, if they're actually in the right attitude, will love Krishna because he's all lovable. Imagine the Supreme Personality of Godhead who's all powerful, knows past, present, future, and yet he loves the living entity, so he even surrenders the little soul. That's pretty impressive, isn't it? So Krishna is all lovable. There's no one kinder and nicer than he is, except for Srimati Radharani, his internal energy. Yes?
I was just saying about the...
Do we have a microphone, or is that... What's that? Didn't we have one yesterday? Did they take it? It's all right for now, yeah.
No, I was just thinking, it's just a general comment, like, for the reading, Bhagavad Gita. Before I was reading, I was very regulated in my reading, and I also observed that when I used to read before, when I was very regulated in reading, even my consciousness of it was very different then, and I think I was more devoted to Krishna. And I think from few months, my reading. Well, I do read, but I would say briefly, not as I used to. So that's why I think sometimes my consciousness can go up and down. But now I'm just thinking to add more reading.
Sounds like a good idea. We're going to do something good for ourselves. Just like some people take vitamin pills every day, so we should take the Krishna pill every day.
Well, like, you know, when a few years back when I was studying this Bhakti Shastri in my own with other devotees, and those months, you know, it was so regulated, obviously we had exams and all of those things. So I could really see, like, my consciousness was completely different than all the time I had before. It was just very different. I had no anxiety, nothing. It was such a transcendental path.
Did you like that?
Yes.
It's still there. All right. Yeah. Yeah.
You said that killing is not enough. What about Parikshit Maharaj?
Killing is not enough?
In the lecture you said that hearing is not enough, that we have to do something else. But there are examples of great souls like Mahajans. They achieved perfection by doing only one out of nine processes of devotional service, like Parikshit Maharaj.
Oh, hearing is not enough.
Yes.
Yeah, hearing is the beginning. Parikshit Maharaj didn't just hear. He actually meditated. By the hearing process, he was able to meditate on Krishna. So he went through the hearing, and he heard so perfectly that he could actually remember Krishna. So hearing is not enough. We also have to hear perfectly so we actually become Krishna conscious, which is dhyana, which is remembrance. No one in the spiritual world just hears. They're all remembering Krishna, experiencing Krishna. But he obtained perfection, just like in this age we can attain perfection by chanting, but chanting also includes meditation in it. If we chant perfectly, then we'll remember Krishna also. We're not just chanting like a parrot, we're chanting in such a way that we'll remember Krishna, which is remembrance. And then we also have to live life in such a way. We hear how to live our lives in such a way as we remember Krishna. So hearing also implies chanting and remembering too. So in Satya Yuga, people would meditate, but when they couldn't do that anymore, in order to learn how to meditate, they had to offer sacrifice. And then they could actually meditate. And in Dwarpa Yuga, when they stopped being able to perform sacrifice, then they had to do deity worship so they can perform sacrifice to the deity so that eventually they can meditate. In Kali Yuga, the same thing. That because we can't do any of those things, but if we chant perfectly, then we'll actually be able to worship the deity, at least in the form of the sound vibration. And if we worship the deity, then we'll be interested in sacrificing by performing the Sankirtan movement. And then we'll be able to meditate in trance upon Krishna. Khwala, Grandharaj, Shrimad Bhagavad Gita, Ki Jai.